Britfilm Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 44th International Film Festival of Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Matthew Yeager, who is presenting his film Valedictorian here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
Of course, thank you, Matt.
A great film. I really connected it in a personal way, and I'm sure this is a film that's very easy to connect with for an audience. But I was wondering whether you might want to introduce the film a little bit for our listeners.
Sure. So the film is called Valedictorian, as you said, and it's about a character who lives in New York, in Brooklyn. And over the course of a year, he walks away from the life that he had, the life that he had built up for himself, his job, his relationships, his family, friends, to go find something else. And we sort of track him throughout the course of the year, and he goes from being the protagonist of the story to sort of being more of a passerby. And the focus then shifts to the people that he knew, and the colleagues, the acquaintances, the people in his neighborhood, his distant relatives, and sort of how they perceive his disappearance, how they perceive his journey. So there you have it.
Yeah, the need for alienation is sort of like a driving theme in the film, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think, I live in New York City. It's a city of 8 million people. And, I've lived there for about 15 years. And it's a city, sort of a revolving door, where people just kind of come and go quite frequently there. And you can know somebody for a period of time, and you know them in this very specific way. And then they move on and continue to have their own life and their own experiences. But the period of time that you connected with them is your only sort of surviving memory of them, and so I was really attracted to that and sort of how that can happen so consistently in a city with so many people.
How did you structure it in the first place?
Well, it sort of came out sort of quite functionally. We had the idea to shoot the film over the course of a year, and we would I had an outline for the entire year. I knew he was going to become less and less of, sort of the main character, but still being the focus as we began to see it through other characters. But we would shoot 1 month, I would script that month, and then we would workshop with the actors for the next month and sort of develop the script for each upcoming scene throughout the year as we went along. Again, sort of maintaining that overall structure throughout. The story basically, stayed the same, but we would sort of tailor it as we went. But the idea to kind of bifurcate it to halves, because it is kind of, he is centrally, focused, and it's kind of from his point of view, the first half, and then the second half it becomes about these other characters and how they see him and see themselves in relationship to him. One sort of point of reference for that came from one of my favorite films by Kurosawa, Akira, which I don't know if is not necessarily his most well-known film, but it's not a samurai movie at all, but it's about a bureaucrat who at the very beginning of the film learns he has stomach cancer, and the first half of the film is the sort of immediate day following his awareness that he's got this life-threatening illness, and then the second half of the film is after he has died and how all of his coworkers sort of saw him and maybe didn't really know him in a way that he was. So that was definitely a big inspiration.
I want to try and get into the particulars as well. There's a scene in the middle of the film, towards the middle of the film, where the lead character is sitting in a park and he's just humming to himself and looking at the things that are going on around him. I found that to be an extraordinary moment in the film that really slowed everything down and made you think. And just in terms of getting into particulars of the actual way in which you shot the film, how did you create that scene? Was it spontaneous, or was it something that you always envisioned?
That I sort of saw that as kind of the turning point in the film, because it's this moment. There's no real dialogue in that scene, he's been shedding layers throughout the film, and at that point in the from his car, his belongings, to his job, to some of the relationships that he had, and that's the moment where he's kind of at that precipice, that turning point, and so I wanted something where we kind of just had a moment to sit with him and see the world and all these other people doing things that are whether they're walking a dog or they're a vagabond lying on the ground or sunbathing on the same ground 10 feet away or having a phone conversation, that each of them has their own stories and each of them are you know, going to be pulled in different directions and may or may not be feeling similar senses of alienation that he might be in a city of so many people in the world. But yeah, it was definitely the moment where I wanted to be like, okay, he's now changed. He's now going to go on a different path from the one he had sort of expected himself to go on his entire life.
So. Yeah. Obviously, the theme of relationships, which is a word we've mentioned in this interview quite a bit already, is key, is fundamental. I'd like to know, like, in terms of the inspiration and what made you want to make this film, what is going on in relationships nowadays? Is social media, social networks, people are kind of connecting in a very indirect way. Maybe we even come up with like different identities for each other, like in the way in which we portray ourselves to different people. So what was your opinion in terms of relationships and making and coming up with the idea for the film?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think I was hesitant to ever get on board with social media a long time ago. I was, you know, I always liked person to person, actually meeting people face to face rather than on some sort of electronic world. But one of the real inspiration for the character, because this character is very different from me in a lot of ways. I mean, I relate to him in some ways, but I also relate to some of the other characters. And I really like people. I like being around people. And this is a story about a guy who kind of wants to be by himself. But I used to work at a video store about 10 years ago when we had video stores. And one of my colleagues there was quite a bit older than me, and he had a very interesting story. Back in the 1960s and 70s, he had been a journalist for Rolling Stone magazine and was sort of, by his peers, considered to be one of the founding forefathers of rock criticism. He was like the only one that defended Dylan when Dylan went electric. He toured with Bowie and Keith Richards. He profiled Warren Zevon and basically saved his life. He signed the New York Dolls, like very successful in his field and his career. And then some point in the early 80s, he just walked away, much to the bafflement and confusion of his friends, fans, family, and he didn't want that life anymore, that life of success. And to some people, it spoke to a sickness of the mind. To some people, thought, like, is it drugs or drink? And, I don't know that it was any of that. And I knew him years later from that, working again, as I said, at a video store, and I knew him to be still full of life, still full of humor, very engaged with what he loved. He was very passionate about film noirs and westerns, which is what drew him to working at a video store, and he just didn't have the desire to do what he had been, from the outside, incredibly successful at, and something that should have been providing him fulfillment. Should have, I put in air quotes. So there was something about that story that I always wanted to examine with this character is how you can walk away from something and still be alive, and I hope that there's a and still have the hope and the connection or the potential for connection, a new relationship, and it kind of ends with I don't want to give it away, but I hope a bit of hope.
Yes. So. Yeah. And absolutely, I totally agree with you there. Another thing that really hits me about the film is that it just feels genuine. And part of the reason why it does is because, you know, of the way in which it's shot. Because a lot of the shots are handheld, and it just gives it this kind of, I don't want to say documentarian feel, but it certainly makes it feel more real. So could you tell us maybe a little bit about how, you know, the technical side and how you worked with the director of photography and achieving that look?
Sure. So the director of photography is a very good friend of mine, Miguel Drake McLaughlin, very talented cinematographer and filmmaker in his own right. And we'd collaborated on a number of shorts over the years, and this was our first chance to work together as a feature. And even though the feature is sort of structured as almost a series of shorts, we would approach each short with the information we had sort of gathered and collected from the previous scene. And sometimes we would, if one scene we might favor longer takes, we would then kind of want to play around with how, maybe he's going through something a little bit more chaotic in this scene, so we'll have a little bit more of a handheld feel to it. But the keeping it handheld pretty consistently throughout the film was definitely to show his, I guess, sort of vulnerability and relationship with with the lack of stability in his life, but then having these interludes throughout the film that are in McGolrick Park. It's a park in North in Greenpoint in Brooklyn where we shot it, and so that sort of breaks the film up in between each of his scenes, and those are all on sticks and very static shots, and that's meant to kind of be almost like this metronome or something that kind of brings you back to it kind of keeps you in pace, I guess, but we definitely wanted that to be to play off of the unsteadiness of the handheld.
Yeah, and it adds to just the power that it actually can have, the thought-provoking power that it has in a viewer. And it's a great film. It's I can definitely say that it's been one of my favorite films of the festival so far. And thank you very much for talking with us about it. I do wish you all the best with it.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.